you would with me, we're going to read the scripture together before our message. It comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 61, verses 1 through 5. We'll be reading by the Common English Bible. Please join me. God, listen to my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. When my heart is weak, I cry out to you from the very ends of the earth. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am, because you have been my refuge, a tower of strength in the face of my enemy. Please let me live in your tent forever. Please let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, because you, God, have heard my promises. You've given me the same possession as those who honor your name.
And amen to that psalm. You guys just said a prayer to God in unison. It's lovely. The book of Psalms are lovely. Good prayers and a good way to open up a service. Most of you know who I am already, but for those who don't, I'll just give a short, brief introduction. I'm Roger Swanson, Alwood graduate, grew up around here. I've served the Lord in many capacities over the last 30 years. The last assignment he gave me, I was blessed enough to help another pastor, and we were able to start a church plant in Watauga, Illinois, where I pastored the church for 5 years. It's truly a blessing, truly a quite a learning experience, and a good time to learn a little bit what life's all about. This morning's message that I've entitled is Building Unity in a Church. Now, personally for me, through the last 30 years, every church I've been at, this is just something that's heavy on my heart, because you see things go on in churches. And I've always had a passion for this. So we're going to get started into God's Word this morning. And the main verse comes from Ephesians, which we'll get to that in just a second. Now, most of you are probably going to go home, turn the Bears game on, or some football game. Maybe not the Bears. But the formula for any successful team, now excluding maybe the Bears, is what? Most of the time it takes what? It takes teamwork, good coaching. It takes ability for everyone to work together, to be unified with each other, to be one. Now, even though one individual may stand out on the team, it takes a unified effort for that team to succeed. Would you agree with me on that? It takes everybody. Now, here at Alpha United Methodist, as we get ready to take the full responsibility of carrying on the work of this church, we shouldn't forget that we're also to be building up unity in this body of Christ. Now, as we build up unity among ourselves, it also is something that will overflow into the community. And I think we all know that, and people see that. People watch, you know, and they're going to be looking. You know, and just as there's certain ways to put up a wall or wire up a light fixture, this book right here is the guideline for the unity of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this. This is Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. It says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called into the glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Now, the first thing we see in this scripture, Paul is telling us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Matter of fact, if you read it closely, he says, I beg you. Paul's begging. He does that to us as well in this reading as he did to the church, to the Ephesians. Now think about that for a minute. And what are the two greatest commands that the Lord wants us to follow? The ones that came to my mind quick was love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourselves. And that's in Matthew 22, 37, and 38. To me, with those verses in mind, that's a good foundation to start building unity. In verse 2, Paul tells us, and this is one main point here, be humble and gentle to each other. He's wanting us here. He's describing the attitude that Jesus had when he walked this earth. Say things that build each other up. Be constructive toward each other. The second point Paul makes in this verse is to be patient with each other. Let's have a loving attitude to each other. Be alert enough to make allowances for each other. Be passionate, even when others fail. If we have differences with others, we should be quick to mend them. It's the Holy Spirit is the only one that can teach us and give us the strength to treat others like He wants us to. And that's a matter of trust between you and the Holy Spirit. And you know, God's patient with us. Wouldn't you say that? He's been very patient with me all my life. The third point Paul has in this verse, in verse 3, be responsible. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Because if we're a part of God's family, it's our responsibility to protect unity. And sometimes that means doing the best for others and not necessarily ourselves. Being alert and following the ways of God, the things that He teaches us how to, and the ways He teaches us how to live. We do that by reading the Word of God, which guards our hearts and our minds and makes us responsible in the eyes of unity. Now in Paul's verse in 4 through 6, he tells us what unites us. And this is something not only with all of us in this room, but with other Christians in the world. He makes a big point. We are all one in the Spirit. Does anyone remember the old hymn, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord? When I was in the Lutheran church, that was one we sang quite often. The common heritage that we all have is the blood of Christ. And that blood was shed for our sins, no matter what. All of them, all of our sins. And salvation, that's a common ground that unites us as Christians. And that makes Jesus the unifier. So maybe you kind of wonder why I'm talking about unity so much today. Like I said, there may or may not be big issues going on in this church. I'm not a judge and I'm not judging. But I have a heart for all churches on this subject and matter of unity. The point I really want to get across more than anything is to be alert. In this verse, what I get out of it and the knowledge I get out of it, it's up to us to protect the unity in the body of Christ. It's His church. We are called to keep the unity in His church. I'd like to share a story with you that happened a few years ago. I was involved with a big church project, big remodeling. There was new ministries starting, a new roof going on the building, new classrooms, painting, fixtures, you name it, everything was going for it. It was a lot of fun. We worked together, a bunch of us guys got to know each other, got to know about each other. It was exciting. It was kind of a fresh start. It was very exciting. And everyone seemed to get along for the most part. But towards the end of the remodeling project, there kind of became a competition between the ministries. And that happened so fast. And we were all kind of sucked into it so quickly that none of us recognized it right away. It became so competitive that one ministry would try to outdo the other with numbers or things that have happened, or we have more people than you do, or we have more money, we're getting more money than you guys are. And then there became an attitude that they were better than the other churches in the community. It became very obvious that there was no unity left in that church after a period of time. The leadership had fallen to pray to do things their own way and not necessarily Christ's way. And it became obvious that God was not blessing those ministries. There was a small number of us who, when we finally realized and saw what was going on, we met together and started praying and was so confused and wondered why God would let this happen to a church that was starting to grow and new ministries that were going on. It felt like the Holy Spirit was gone and we were just left there. This church soon split. The senior pastor left, and a lot of members left. It was a situation that appeared that pride, the pride of men, took over for the place in the love of God. The focus of Jesus and his church went right out the window. Now remember the 3 points that I used just a few minutes ago to explain unity? Well, when you're not unified, here's what happens. We're no longer humble and gentle to each other. We criticize each other. We judge each other. You know, if something doesn't go maybe the way we think it should, we start bickering. If we criticize someone else who's doing something in faith, could we be interfering with God's work in that person's life? I believe so. Focus on what we have in common, not what differences that we have. The second thing, we're not patient with each other anymore. All of us are wired up different. We all have our own ideas. We all make mistakes. Don't gossip about others when there's differences. Choose to encourage, not discourage. Third thing was, with disunity, there becomes no responsibility. Saw that firsthand when we were going through that church split. There was no responsibility on any of the leadership. Selfishness and pride was the biggest monster in disunity. And who are we to do anything without Christ? As individuals, we need to be unified with God every day through prayer and His Word. If each one of us took that responsibility of knowing Christ deeper and living out His ways and applied it to ourselves first, then our church, and then other Christians, wouldn't that bring us closer to our Lord in one God, one faith, one baptism, as Paul writes? Wouldn't that bring us as people and Christians closer to a unified place? There's so many verses in the New Testament about unity. And this is just, I've barely scratched the surface on what could be done. Being a farm mechanic in my day job, I kind of looked at unity this way in kind of a machine aspect. A machine that runs well needs every little function to operate properly so that the whole thing and the whole unit can run smoothly itself. It takes a lot of different pieces to make one big piece run efficiently. If each one of us does our part, and if each one of us keeps in focus of working together and glorifying the kingdom of God, I think the idea of unity seems less complicated. Once again, we are one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. Someday we're all going to be judged before God. And as each member of us, each member of God's family, I kind of ask myself this question once in a while. Did you make every effort to protect the unity of Christ in your heart and in the church? Are we praying for our ministry leaders in this church? All of them? At the different committees? Praying for the future pastor? Are you praying for unity? Hopefully we're wise and loving enough to recognize disunity at any early stages so that it does not raise its ugly head within a church. Colossians 3:14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Everybody wants and needs to be loved. Are you making someone else feel loved in this church? Follow the examples of Christ and have that kind of love towards others. He loved us pretty unconditionally, for as bad as we mess up as humans. The great example of unity in the Bible to me is the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now maybe you're sitting there today thinking that you could never be unified with this person or that person, or maybe even with God because of something you've done or said. Maybe there's something you need to repent of, to be forgiven of. Maybe you need to make amends with someone. Whatever it is, remember that Jesus died on the cross so that we could be set free from these things, from the bondage of sin, from these things that hold us back from unity. You know, God loves us all. He wants us to be unified. Because when we are, we're able to accomplish the work that He has for us on this planet, in this church, even in your own homes. He's there for us when we repent. He's there for us when we reconcile with others. He's given us each other so that we can be unified with Him and them. So I urge everyone to accept the responsibility of protecting and promoting unity in this church. Because I, through past experience, really do believe that God truly blesses a church that is closely unified. Let's close in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church family. Thank you for calling each of us to serve your kingdom through this church. And Lord, we declare that we love you with all of our hearts and souls and minds and strength. And as a church family, we confess that we will love one another as ourselves, and we'll walk in unity with love with one another. Lord, your word tells us that if we love you, we must love others too. Let's not look out for our own interests, but take an interest in each other's needs. We will be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And Lord, we confess that we'll encourage to build each other up, to make each other stronger. Make us strong in our hearts. Build bridges on whatever divides us. Guide us by your one Holy Spirit into the oneness of your will for this church. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Bow your heads, please. Lord, as we leave the sanctuary today and enter into the world, Lord, we ask that you keep us unified, that you keep us focused on the mission for your kingdom. And Lord, when we feel tempted that we need to sway and that we don't feel unified, Lord, I ask that you come to us, you whisper to us, You give us the words of encouragement. You hold us in your arms, and you let us know that you're there. So no matter the trial, the tribulation, the trouble that lies ahead, Lord, we are unified with you. Lord, keep us safe, keep us energized, and keep us focused for this week ahead, and bring us back safely together next week to worship your wonderful name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.